Amen. Thank the Lord for our song service already. And like if you go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. Tonight we are looking into our 13th lesson in the Christian Life and Walk series. Praying God will continue to bless and we might continue to find greater ways to serve the Lord in our bodies and in our frame of mind. I have some very good songs tonight, and I'm thankful for them because they speak to a lot of a great deal of what we're going to be speaking on even this evening. The Bible, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. We'll read down through about verse 21. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And as a matter of fact, this is really going to be the bulk of my message this evening. Verse 5 for one thing, and praying God will help us to realize how important that we are to be to each other. And how we as God's people in this locality, as born again Christians, are to be looking out for one another spiritually. And also physically where needed. The Bible says again in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne once again this evening, we do so with thankful hearts. Thankful, dear God, that we are able to come together as a church family and worship in spirit and truth. Thankful, Heavenly Father, that we have the ability to call one another brothers and sisters. Thankful, dear God, that we have saints of God everywhere that have the same mind. Father, we pray tonight that You'll help us to be thinking of others around us. Let our responsibility lean toward them as well, dear God. And Father, we pray that You'll help us in these days in which we now live, in these last days, these end of time. Father, I pray that we as Thy children will participate in this life in such a manner that we too could truly be called Christian. That we too could mimic the life and testimony of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll help us tonight. Bless those that are not able to be with us on account of sickness or whatever it is. Lord, You know all about it. Bless us that have gathered here this evening. May our hearts rejoice with the Word. May Thy name be lifted up. We praise You. We ask that You forgive us our sin. In Christ's name, and amen. Tonight in our 13th lesson of the Christian Life and Walk series, I'm going to be bringing a message entitled, Our Responsibility to Others. We sang the song on page 202, Onward Christian Soldiers. And there in verse 3 and 4, I believe is something that I want to recite unto you again. If I can get back turned there. This song says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throne. Blend our voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. And then the footsteps of Jesus. And this goes right along with our message tonight. And matter of fact, with the whole series of the Christian Life and Walk series. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. If they lead through the temple holy preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly serving the Lord. Then at last, when on high He sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. The course again reads, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. You know, that course is a course that we ought to be thinking about even tonight as we open up this service, as we look into this great responsibility of God's people to walk and talk like Christ did. Emmanuel, in our time with God's Word this evening, we will look at the telling tale of a serious-minded Christian's life. Are we doing all to show the world around us that we are concerned about how others perceive us? You know, I've often heard men sit back and say, I don't much care about what anybody thinks of me. But you know what? That's not the Christian way, is it? God's people should really consider how the world around us views us. We ought to be considering that because we are supposed to be the light and representation of Jesus Christ upon the earth. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to live Christian lives, and it ought to get a hold of our hearts when people think otherwise of us. It ought to break our hearts when we do not live the life that Christ lived. Listen, there are many different ideas out there about the Christian's true identity, many of which are and can be contested. But how do people view you as a Christian? Does your life portray that life that Jesus lived while He was here? Do you, as a Christian, mimic that life lived by Jesus? So tonight, let's look at some of the characteristics of the life of Jesus Christ. We'll ask ourselves this question: does my life, does my walk resemble the life of Christ? Now I want you to consider this definition that I wrote down for mimic. Mimic is to imitate somebody. That's the very first definition given for the word mimic. You move on down to the third definition, and it is to copy, to resemble something in a way that seems like a deliberate copy. And I love that one more, I believe, as it concerns the Christian and his life and his walk. To copy, to resemble something in a way that seems like a deliberate copy. It ought to be our deliberate desire to be more like Christ every day of our lives. Every day that we wake up in the mornings, every morning that you come out of your bed, it ought to be your desire to mimic the life of Jesus Christ in a deliberate, on-purpose way. Now, do we mimic the life and walk of Christ? You know, Brother Bush's prayer, and you pardon me, but when he said this, I had to stop and write it down. Help us to be the right example to our co-workers and our families and our friends. I ask us tonight, are we really concerned about being the right example to all those around us? As they look into our lives, as we walk day to day, are we really concerned, as we ought to be, about our personal example that we are? Now, when I began to look at this, there was one thought that came to me. It was about others. How are we with others? My dad, some years ago, done a whole series on one another. I mean, I reckon it was a long drawn-out affair, but I remember him talking about that. I was already pastoring here, and it was something that he was working on a weekly basis, one another series. And I began to consider that this week as I sat in my study. The very first thing that popped into my mind as I was praying, Lord, what would you have me to bring? And it was, there was something that just come to me about others. Others around us. Is our life mimicking Christ in our treatment of others? You know, in 1 Peter, if you'll go back there for just a moment, I want you to look at some of these great old scriptures. 1 Peter in chapter 4 tonight, and we're going to look at some of these. I know it's been a very hot week, a very hot day, especially if you've had one of those jobs where you've had to work outside all day. I know you're about tuckered out, no doubt. But tonight, you just bear with me for a little while. I'm going to try to think of others tonight. I'm going to try to get through this in a timely manner. Because like I said, I know folks are tired and hot. But as we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 7 down through verse 11 here. Here the Bible says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now, that word sober there does not mean to a life of sobriety and, you know, no drunkenness. This is soberly thinking, spiritually minded, and not only spiritually minded, but maturely minded, what this is. To think soberly. To be mature in our thought process. It says in verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak to the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things... Now this is the important thing of our lives. This is what's so imperative that we get a hold of as God's born again children. It is imperative tonight that we understand that our lives and our walks are supposed to glorify the Almighty of heaven. Here the Bible says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I ask you tonight, do we consider one another like this? Do we consider what the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 8, where it says, above all things, have fervent charity. Now, that word fervent there, this is what the Bible says that we ought to have for each other: fervent love. That is one of the deepest kinds of love for one another as Christians. I'm not talking about love as we would love our husbands or wives, but I'm talking about love as we would love brothers and sisters in Christ. It is to be a fervent love. In other words, a working love, a serious-minded affection for one another. Even, we think about this, we think about how Jesus loved fervently at all times. Do we, is the question, when we have fervent love for one another, that's the kind of love that continues to go on even when we don't necessarily agree with one another all the time. Amen? I mean, sometimes as human beings, we're going to come to a place where we disagree with one another over this or that. You know what? We're not all robots, and we're not all made to think one thing. We are individuals. But listen, God's people are people that are able to love even when we don't see eye to eye on things. You know, like the men and the pastor in the prayer rooms, a lot of times we have to hash out some things. There's a lot of times that we have to come in together and begin to throw things back and forth to each other, trying to figure out some problems that we might be having. And just because somebody's idea is not my idea, it's not the reason for us to part ways, is it? Just because I have an idea that does not match totally up with yours does not give us right to be at odds with one another. That's the reason why that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, one of the first things we do is make sure that none of us have aught against anybody else in this house. You know why? Because you're not even supposed to take the Lord's Supper if we have aught against our brother or sister in Christ. That's how serious that the Lord views our involvement with each other. Do we have fervent love for one another? You know, that word fervent there in the Greek is a word that means to love deeply, earnestly, without ceasing. In other words, when it's not necessarily my idea, listen, we're still to love without ceasing. Isn't it a shame? I mean, you see it in the world a lot. You see it in situations on the job a lot. When somebody else has got another idea that might be better than yours. And I've seen men that have come... I mean, I've seen men sitting in meetings, even right there at the refinery, when we're trying to work out this certain situation and maybe this guy had an idea which was a pretty good idea, but this guy had a better idea, and they almost come to knocking each other in the head because, you know, one's upset because the other one didn't like his idea. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. God's children are never to be like that. God's children are to love fervently, and that means, again, without ceasing, without stoppage. And it certainly means in one recollection that we just read, without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Do we mimic the life and walk of Christ in our love for other Christians in our body? I ask you again tonight, church family, do we really think of others fervently with love? You know, as we look at each other in this house tonight, we have some folks that are not able to be with us tonight for whatever reason. I don't know why. You know what? My heart's wondering about them tonight. I'm concerned about what's going on. You know, is something wrong? Is something going on that you know, we need to be praying about? That's the kind of love that we ought to have for each other. That's the kind of love that God is glorified by. When we love like Christ loved. You know, one of the greatest things and one of the greatest examples we can follow is the life of Christ. Even when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and that old rooster crowed, let me tell you something. Peter's heart was broken, but you know what? I imagine the Lord loved Peter even then. He proved that. He proved it. When Thomas doubted, listen, the Lord didn't begin to come down upon him in a harsh way, did he? Even when Thomas doubted, listen, you know what the Lord said? He said, just give me your hand. Come here. Put your finger in my side. Feel the prints in my hand. It's me, he said. You know what? He didn't get mad at him. Now, there was times when he called his own disciples the faithless and caused them to be curious about their own faith. That was out of love, though. But listen, do we mimic the life of Christ the way we ought to with our love for each other? Now, secondly, do we consider one another in hospitality? You know, in verse 9, the Bible says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, without it causing a problem with us. Well, here they come. They're going to take the very last bit of my sugar. We're going to have to use all the coffee. Here they come. Listen. Folks, I want you to know something. That's being hospitable with a little grudge in it. That's being hospitable with a little grudge when we have a folks that you know, the word hospitable. Let me give you the definition of that. In the dictionary, the word hospitable or hospitality means a friendly welcome and a kind or generous treatment of a friend or stranger. Hospitality. Are we given to hospitality? Are we of a giving nature? Is what the Bible's trying to get us to understand. Are we of a giving nature? Are we ready to give? Are you ready to give even when it hurts? Are you ready to give even if it means you're going to be without? You see, that's the life that Christ lived, isn't it? That's the kind of life that Christ portrayed here upon the earth. As a matter of fact, when Christ was going out doing all the miracles and all the healings, listen, the Bible teaches us very plainly that Christ had nowhere to even lay his head. He had nowhere. He had no one. Think about it. He gave everything. He gave all the way up to his life. And he willingly done that for you and me. Hospitality with Jesus Christ went all the way. Hospitality with Jesus Christ didn't put something back in the cupboard so nobody could see it. Jesus Christ kept everything out on the shelf where you could see it plainly, and if there was a need, He gave it to you, didn't He? His healings of sicknesses, He gave it to you. His healings of the blind eye, He gave it to them. The deaf ear, they were able to hear. The mutes were able to speak. Everything that was in need of humanity, Jesus Christ gave. He was hospitable. Are we that type of person? You know, in the Greek, the word hospitality is given to hospitality or a lover of hospitality. Do we enjoy being able to give? You know what? I'll tell you, folks, when you get to that position in your life, that's when you're being fulfilled on every side. When you have the ability to love giving, to be a hospitable giver to others around you, it don't have to be material things. You know, sometimes people need to understand that our hospitality can just be a word of encouragement. Amen. Sometimes our hospitality can just be a word of encouragement to somebody who's been a little bit down. Maybe we need to encourage somebody. Maybe we need to encourage more with our lives. Maybe we ought to be more hospitable to those who are in need emotionally. You know what? I believe one of the greatest Christians you can be is someone who's there emotionally for others. You know, sometimes that's all anybody needs. It's just a listening ear. You know, oftentimes, I've had people to ask me, well, what in the world do you do in that kind of a situation? What do you do when you're dealing with a parent who's just lost a child? What do you do when you're dealing with a child who's just lost a parent? Sometimes all you can do is be there with a shoulder to lean on. Sometimes when people are going through situations, sometimes all they need is somebody with a listening ear who's not so quick to reach out and judge and begin to be argumentative with them, but just to be able to hear and listen to the concerns. You know what? That's being hospitable with your time and effort. That's being concerned. Did not Jesus, every time somebody talked to Him, He was a listener, wasn't He? He was a listener. He listened. He heard. You know, a lot of times we talk to people and sometimes we're not heard. They're looking right at us, but they're not heard. We're not heard. Folks, I'll tell you, hospitable and hospitality goes a long way when you're just able to listen to somebody. Listen to their concerns. And as I said, without being ready to judge. Hospitable. Are we welcoming to one and all? I dare say that I pastor the kindest, most loving, and inviting people around. A people who do not look down on others, even when they may not line up with our own ways and beliefs. You know, I found that to be true in my ministry. You can gain a lot more friends, you know, without being that harsh judge, that critic that's always demeaning something that somebody else, maybe they've got something, maybe their thought process spiritually is not where you are. You know what? There's a lot more smarter men out there than me. There's a lot more men out there that I need to listen to as well. I don't know everything, that's for sure. I can tell you that right up front. I don't know everything. Spiritually, I don't know everything. But I'll tell you this right now, I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to listen. And we can also learn from others, can't we? Our hospitality allows us to learn from others around us. May God help us to be that kind of people always. May God help us to always be that people who's not so quick to demean somebody or judge somebody. But you know what? Our attitudes and our style of coming forth with the Word of God can be greatly used if that other person is not already offended. You see what I'm saying? Our hospitality can go a long way when we are just gentle with our response. Romans in chapter 12 again. And the Bible says here in verse 13, Romans 12. And verse 13, here this, now listen to this. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. You know, today as we look at this, distributing to the necessity of the saints. And then I turn over to Hebrews 13, and there I see in verse 2, the Bible says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You know what? You're going to run across people in your life that God's going to put there. Had no other reason. God opened the door and you're able to start speaking to them about the gospel. God opened the door, you're able to be there and be a Christian light to somebody else who's in need. God opened the door and you're able to be there to console at a time that it's needed. Folks, that's where you need to be tonight. You know, sometimes just being there, as I said, I had a situation one time where a grieving mother was sitting in my driveway. A daughter had just been killed in an accident. Folks, what do you do in situations like that? Sometimes you just need to let them lean on you. You know, that mother and her husband, they came back. That mother and father came back, maybe it was a couple of months later, talking to me about that night. And she mentioned the fact that nothing was said about the situation with her daughter. It wasn't no quick judgment thrown out about the situation at all. And she mentioned that, and she, what it meant to her, that all that I'd done was sit and listen to her and pray with her. And every now and then, I'll see them. Well, I haven't seen them for a couple, two or three years now, but for years, about the same time of year, they would come by. At the same time of the year, they would come by. They would sit in front of my house. Folks, you never know what kind of hospitality you're going to be able to lend to somebody else. But sometimes, it's just being there. You may not know these individuals. You may not be acquainted with them in any way. But there's times when people around us need us. There's times when people around us need us to be Christ-like. Amen? Need us to be Christ-like. Our hospitality, it goes far beyond the physical giving to others. As I said, sometimes our hospitality is just our time. Sometimes it's just a shoulder. Sometimes it's just an ear. Now, lastly tonight, do we consider one another in God's Word? Do we use God's Word as a blockade to others, or do we use God's Word to edify, encourage, lift up those that are in need? You know, in verse 10 and 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll go back there, and then I'm going to come to a close right here in just a little bit. Yeah, I did it again. I'm going to have to quit making those kind of promises, ain't I? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now listen. That little word minister there. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That little word minister there in the Greek means to serve, to help, to attend. This refers to spiritual and practical ministry in the church family. We as God's children should mimic the life and walk of Jesus Christ even within our Bible training of others around us. This way, God the Father is glorified through Jesus Christ, His Son, and the life and walk that He walked. You know, in Philippians in chapter 3, and this is my last scripture here tonight now, Philippians in chapter 3, and I'll come to a close. Now look at this with me. Philippians in chapter 3, verse 13 to begin with. Here the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect," in other words, equipped or trained or prepared, "be thus minded. And if any thing you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained," in other words, arrived at, if our maturity level in the Word of God is at such a place, He says this, "Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be you followers together with me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example." Now, let me ask you something tonight. In our ability to train up others under us, it's just like these children here. You break the will of one of these little children, you're going to have a hard time teaching them the rest of their lives. You know that? If a child's will is broken at an early stage in life, folks, I'll tell you, that child will have trouble for the rest of its life. It's the same way in the Christian community. You know what? When we have a babe in Christ that doesn't know all the right answers, it would be foolish for us to reprimand him in front of everybody, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be something that would drive you away if you didn't have the right answer, but somebody else did, and they made fun of you or made light of you in front of other people? You see, Christ would never do that. As a matter of fact, Christ would teach with humility. And that's a way that God says that we ought to be doing to others around us. You know, as the church family grows, people are not saved with immediate knowledge of the Word of God, fully and wholly. You know what that takes? Number one, it takes time. Now, you say, "Well, they were grown up. They've grown up with the Word of God." Yeah, but they've only been saved a short while. You know what the Bible says about the knowledge of the Word of God? It takes a spiritual mind. Amen. It takes a saved mind to really fully comprehend. You know, when somebody talks to me about the Bible and they're not They don't lay claim to salvation, but they read the Bible every day. They interpret to me the way they feel like it ought to be. And I've got one man that talks to me all the time, just like that. Well, brother, the Bible says, now it'd be easy for me to say, yeah, but that's for, you can't interpret that Bible with an unsaved mind. You got to be saved by the grace of God. You know, it would be easy for me to say that, wouldn't it? And maybe hurt that man in such a way that he would walk away from me forever, not ever be able to teach him again. But then there's others that are just now newborn babes that don't have the full knowledge of the Word of God. They need to be taught, but it needs to be done in a way that they're not belittled or made to look bad. God's Word says very plainly, listen, oh you man that maybe you're mature in the Word and everything, listen, don't think too highly of yourself, the Bible says. You know what? I've seen a lot of men think too highly of themselves. I've seen a lot of men behind the pulpit think too highly of themselves. Like they could never make a mistake. You're not looking at one that thinks that, I'll tell you that right now. You know me. I know I make mistakes. But folks, tonight as we continue this study in the life and walk of Christ, may we always be ready to bear one another's burdens. May we always be ready to teach according to the dictates by which Jesus Christ leads, gently and lovingly. Even when others try and tar your good image, God knows all about it. They'll one day give an account for every idle word spoken and every evil deed committed. You don't have to worry. God never forgets. But we must be fervent in our love and hospitality and our word that is fitly spoken, that it truly represents the life of Jesus Christ. Even when men try to tear you down, may God help us to always stand like Christ did. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before Your throne tonight, we do thank You for the day which You've given us, the blessed time we've had to be with our church family again tonight. Father, I thank You that we have Your Word to go by, to learn of, to help us to grow. Father, help us to walk more like Your Son did every day. Bless Your people here, Lord. Protect and care for each and every one of us. And help us to grow in love with one another as Your Bible teaches us to do so. Bless tonight, save souls and save lives. Father, forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.
Sing 254.